Hi friends, and welcome to The Geode, your guide to modern wellness and woo. I'm your host, Stephanie Wood. I'm a mom, a veteran, and a modern mystic, and I'm on a mission to create an inclusive wellness community. A few years ago, I found myself drawn to the world of spirituality, and I loved it. But I also felt really self-conscious about what I didn't know yet. I didn't feel comfortable asking questions or showing up to certain events, and I definitely never heard or saw anyone with a voice like mine. Someone who's grounded, relatable, approachable, really funny, and also really witchy. And that's why I created this podcast. On the podcast, we're going to cover everything from astrology to crystal healing, energy work, human design, and even tantric Ayurveda, all from the perspective of relevant practitioners and thought leaders. I wanted to create a safe place for you to learn more about these contemplative and mystical practices and offer a variety of information so you get to decide what resonates with you on your own terms. I hope that you love it because I love you. Hey guys, welcome back. Today's episode is a pretty interesting one. It's with my friend Betsy Granville. Betsy is a spiritual intuitive. She's a medium and she's a channel. I love speaking with her because I think she does a great job of taking that which exists beyond language and trying to find language for us to comprehend. And we talk a lot about this space between what we can see and what we can't see. So this episode goes pretty deep, pretty quick, but there's a lot of really fascinating and comforting information in what she gives that I felt like really resonated from the perspective of somebody who is spiritual, but also skeptical. And so this episode is great if you're interested in learning more about the space beyond what we can see and kind of what is happening there and how those who see that world contextualize it. So I hope you enjoy this episode. It is pretty deep, but if you can hang in there, it's definitely worth it. To the podcast. Today we have a really special guest. Her name is Betsy Granville, and she's a dear friend of mine. She's a spiritual intuitive and a medium, and she can receive messages in multiple ways. She's clairsentient, she can feel, claircognizant, she knows, clairvoyant, she could see, and clairaudient, she can hear. There's basically a very thin layer, if any layer, between her and spirit, and she is always a pleasure to speak with. So Betsy, welcome to the show. We're excited to have you here.
Thanks, Stephanie. I'm really happy to be here.
Cool. So I would love to just get right into it. You have all the clairs, which means you are very connected to what we will call for this conversation spirit. What do you call the space that you see and you connect with that others cannot?
I call it the world of spirit. And that world of spirit that I'm seeing and experiencing is all around us all the time and always available to us. It is the greater reality that we're all a part of. We are all spirits, and this is just spirit connecting to spirit. So it's really just a matter of tuning into that finer world around us that lies beyond our five physical senses. The external world that we generally experience through those five physical senses is so compelling. It grabs our attention, it snags us, and so we often stop there. But we also have these much more subtle senses of, as you said, clear seeing, knowing, hearing, feeling, even smelling and tasting, also known as the clairs. So I see the world that I see, that I would call the world of spirit, through those subtle senses.
Cool. And for those who are not familiar with the clairs, it's just a way to refer to how an individual's gifts show and what they can use to communicate with spirit. I'm curious because you basically are the channel, but that, you know, there are people who read the Akashic records. There are people who do the symbols for Reiki. There are people who have to, you know, do these other methods of approaching spirit.
Do you use any of those things, or you just kind of have a direct phone line? And how does that work? Is that a lifetime of working up to get these gifts? Is it lifetimes of working to get these gifts? Does everybody have this gift? I'm curious about your perspective on that.
Okay, great question. So yes, the clairs, first of all, are ways of perceiving or receiving information from the subtle realms, from the spirit world. And, you know, all of these things that you mentioned, Reiki or the Akashic Records, et cetera, are all different different access points to access the energy of spirit that we're really made of, I would say. Reiki is a technique for directing the spiritual life force energy that flows through all of us, and often directing it towards someone as a means of healing, which can be a beautiful offering. And the Akashic Records are the non-physical vibrational library or energetic archives of a soul's past, present, and future possibilities. So I think I'm working in the Akashic Records. I just don't say a specific prayer or do a specific ritual or call those up, call to mind. But I think when I'm accessing for a client, I'm looking at their present situation, or I'm seeing origins of issues in the past or projecting the future. I'm really working within those records. Early on, when my gifts started to really come online fully, in meditation, I would often find myself in this, what seemed like a library. And again, it's not a physical library. It's a symbol for these energetic records that each soul has. And I received the information that I was looking at this giant book, and I understood that this was called the Book of Life. And I later learned that of the Akashic Records, and that another word for the Akashic Records that I think is actually referred to in the Bible, and Edgar Cayce called it, is the Book of Life. Called them as the Book of Life. So I went, oh, I think that's what I was tuning into. And I will say that later, when I went back and read some of Linda Howe's books on the Akashic Records, my third eye or chakra center in the forehead was vibrating so strongly that I almost couldn't read the books because the physical sensations were so strong. So there was a very clear resonance to those for me. But my experience when I'm doing a session, otherwise known as a reading, is just that I'm connecting with someone's guides or with loved ones, with our teams of spirit, and it's just direct.
Cool. And I'm curious, the spirit, the guides or a loved one who has passed or whatever else is there, what is that other dimension? You know, what is its, not its purpose, but what is that other dimension? Why is it important for us to communicate with it? What is the relationship there?
So yes, and back to some of your other questions. I think that in order to understand that world and how one can perceive it and what I'm connecting to, you need to start with the understanding that we are all part human and part soul or spirit. We're blended beings. And this physical part of us, the body, the personality, the conditioned mind, and the non-physical part, the soul or the spirit, are always communicating and converging to the extent that we allow it. Connecting to spirit is a matter of dropping our identification with our human aspect, the human story, and shifting our attention or expanding our awareness into the soul aspect to be able to communicate soul to soul, spirit to spirit with loved ones, guides, angels, and other non-physical beings of light or energies across the veil.
Okay. So there's an existence of us across all these platforms. We have, for some reason, become very focused on the physical body and lost the part of everything else, essentially.
Yes. And just like we were talking about in the beginning with our five physical senses, that happens because we come into this very physical world. We identify with this physical body that we're in. We think that's who we are, the body, the personality, the thought stream. And, you know, often that, you know, we open up at some point to a greater understanding of who we really are. And I believe we all have this ability, that we're all wired for divine communication, because we are all divine, we are all souls in physical form. And it's really our birthright to use the gifts that we naturally have to to receive, and we're all receiving messages all the time anyway from spirit. It comes in terms of intuitive hits or knowings, or even a thought that we assume is ours, but it's really coming from spirit. And our teams of support and spirit are guiding us all the time. We can really cultivate that relationship and expand our understanding of ourselves and that communication if we choose to.
Well, you touched on something that I wanted to ask, because you were saying that it's sort of everyone has this as an innate gift. Mm-hmm. Why do you think you personally now are able to open up? Can maybe talk us through, like, was this here in your childhood and throughout your journey? Did you discover that you've spent lifetimes building up to this? Talk us through how you have been able to open up yourself as the channel.
Okay. So I came in really sensitive, really intuitive from the start. And I was always, I came into a family with some strong values, but not a lot of spirituality per se. My dad was an atheist, or at the very least an agnostic, black and white, man of science. If you can't see it and measure it with current scientific tools, then it really doesn't exist. If we can't prove it. And so here I was, this highly intuitive child who was inexorably drawn to all things spiritual. And by the time I got to high school, was, you know, asking all my friends to go to their churches and synagogues and meeting houses. I was reading personal development and spiritual books. By high school, I was involved in meditation and traveling to another part of the world, Nepal, to study with a healer and live in with a Buddhist family. So this all was, you know, my soul driving me forward from an early age. And by the time I was a young adult, I began to have pretty clear bleed, what I would call bleed through experiences, or where my clairs were coming online. And I was receiving information and perceiving things that was beyond the normal ability to perceive, I would say, what we're used to. And yeah, so, and I think for, you know, I think for me, the personal development that happened for me through my adult life that I worked very consciously on paralleled my spiritual development. And by the time I really got to a certain point and I knew that there was something larger I was meant to step into, and I surrendered to that and said, yes, I'm willing. My world began to really change overnight, and new experiences dropped in. I was having some pretty crazy experiences. I couldn't sleep at night. You know, my room was filling up with spirits. I was having physical sensations. I thought I'd fried myself playing tennis with nerves. In fact, no, there were major changes happening for me. And I would sit in meditation, and those were like zingers. And as soon as I asked them to turn down the volume, those zingers stopped. And as soon as I said to spirit, I need to sleep through the night, I'm happy to communicate during the day, then I started sleeping through the night again. I wasn't waking up at 3 a.m. every morning. And I just began meditating again and receiving huge downloads of information, things there's no way I could have known. And After a while, I started getting the nudge from spirit. Like it's funny because I had this deck. I don't usually work with decks of cards, but they're fun. And I had an Archangel's deck early on, and I started to pull cards. And for that entire year, that was that hugely transformative year for me, there were probably 40, 50 cards in that deck, but I only ever got two of them. And one was, your life's purpose is triggering a blessed career change. I had been a mom and volunteer. And the other one was, the spiritual counselor card. And so, you know, it didn't matter how many times I shuffled that deck, I kept getting the same cards. So, and they kept getting the same nudge from spirit. You're stepping into this purpose work, this service work. It's time to do this for others. So, I finally knocked on the door of my kid's piano teacher and asked her if she'd told her what I was up to, asked her if she'd be willing to have a reading. She's pretty groovy. And she said yes. And I said to spirit when I left that day, oh, I'm pretty nervous. And spirit said, have spirit, we'll travel, go. And so I did it. And that was really the start of working for other people. And
that's awesome. You said you were a mom when you discovered these gifts. Mm-hmm. I think that's really cool to anyone listening, that your gifts can show up at any time. I mean, 40 is quite young, but for those who are like, and I think that your story is amazing on all different fronts, but also that you sort of matured into this process.
Yeah, I think the gifts were always there. I just really wasn't ready to own them and to offer them forward. Now, you know, it's not just about delivering the gifts either. It's like, it's how you do it. It's when I'm sitting with a grieving mother, you know, how I understand and relate mother to mother at this point is very different than it would have been when I was, you know, 22. And how I deliver those messages is really important. So there's a depth, I think, that comes with age that you're able to offer other dimensions to the experience for people when you're
interesting. Doing it. Really cool. Yeah. Because we're friends, I know that you studied comparative religion at Brown University. I'm curious about where the fascination with religion came from. And then if you at this point now can look back and draw any parallels from what you studied and what you're doing now.
Yes. I think my studying comparative religion was really, again, just another piece in my soul's calling me forward into this purpose work. And that interest was so strong for me. And I did a lot of teaching actually too, taught writing at Brown and then taught elementary school afterwards. So that was another piece that actually now with the channeled writing has come into play. So you can look back and see how some of the foundation was laid for what you're doing now, right? And I loved comparative religion. My husband was actually a comparative religion major as well, funny enough. And I got just a real sense of the commonalities between religions and, you know, the dogma differs, the rituals differ. But when you look at what the common thread, when you compare religions, you begin to see that our connection to each other, the sense of oneness, the unconditional love that is the ground of our being is really at the heart of most of these religions. And I loved studying the different ways that Eastern religion and Christianity, for example, came at that same heart, really. And it's beautiful that there are different paths for everyone. So anyway, I think then for me now, those are the things I studied, and then doing what I do now is really, I see it like water skiing. I'm seeing it like water skiing actually right now in my mind's eye, where you're behind the boat and you're following the boat and you have the rope. For a while, I think that was me in college studying those religions. And then you get to a point where you've learned how to ski and you let go of the rope. So now for me, I'm riding that wave of experience and of that direct communication with spirit, with the divine, and seeing and learning from spirit in different ways.
That's cool. And it's cool to have to come from some sort of formal academic approach and also some pure intuition, pure direct connection. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting perspective to have. You mentioned this a little bit before, but can you talk to us about mediumship? First, how you define mediumship? And then I'm curious about what aspect of a human you're speaking with. Can you talk to that?
Yes. Okay, so mediumship is the work of communicating specifically with loved ones across the veil. In contrast, intuitive or psychic work is the work of reading someone's records, as we talked about at the beginning, or their field, their energy field, reading them and what's going on in their lives. I more often work with someone's guides to bring through guidance for their lives than I would say strictly or direct psychic work. But in terms of communicating with loved ones and how that happens, I mentioned earlier that we're part human and part soul. Death, as we call it, is the shedding of the human aspect, most notably the physical body, which houses an aspect of the soul while we're here on Earth. That body or physical vessel allows us to experience life here on Earth so that we can have the opportunity for the incredible soul growth that's available to us here. So when we leave the body and transition back into or merge completely again with that larger non-physical aspect of us, we are leaving behind the human experience and shifting back into the light of our source. So mediumship works because this is the same soul to soul communication as if I'm doing a reading for you and connecting with your soul, I'm connecting with your loved one's soul. It's just another soul. So while the death of the physical body is real, at the same time, we could say that death is an illusion, because in the sense that the soul awareness that animated the physical body is eternal. And it's that consciousness that I'm connecting with. So if you or I, quote unquote, die, then we have now merged with that larger non-physical aspect from which we come. But the imprint of the person known as Betsy or Stephanie still exists as part of the larger light of our soul. So now a medium could make the conscious intention to connect soul to soul with that aspect known as Betsy or Stephanie on the other side for our loved ones on this side. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. So as I understand it, when the body stops, the part that animates the body continues, and mediums can see that part and you could help us communicate to them. So then that part, the soul that continues to exist, is that what comes back for another lifetime? Do people at some point turn into angels, or how, because there are all these varying degrees of what occurs to the soul. Yes. Can you talk about where in that pizza pie you're speaking with a loved one who's passed?
This is, you know, it's tough. We're trying to put words to the ineffable here, but we can think of, here's how I would explain it. We can think of the original source of creation as a giant field of light. And that light is pure awareness, pure being, creative potential. And then that awareness or being projects forth a non-physical self. And this we can call the soul awareness. So we have the larger field projecting out part of its light into a smaller light, which we could call the soul or soul awareness. And that's a direct reflection of that source, that original light. So it has the same qualities of joy, of unconditional love, etc., as its source. Then that soul awareness sends itself or part of itself into a body, be that human or animal, think all creatures great and small, for the lessons that are available in a body, in the human or animal experience. Those are really the underpinnings of reincarnation. So when one of us transitions back into source, that aspect, again, that was known as Betsy or Stephanie, is now part of her larger soul again. But when that soul is ready to have another lifetime to come into this denser dimension for the soul experience and growth opportunities that are available to it here, so that it can become even brighter through those challenges and experiences, then that soul may choose, with the help of its team in the greater reality, to incarnate again. That's where the term reincarnate comes in, come back into a body. So it's not the whole of our soul that comes back into a body. It's an aspect, it's a piece, it's a shard of light of that awareness, that soul awareness. By way of illustration, I can offer this example from a reading up. I had a session with a client a few months ago that really furthered my understanding of this. A client came to me and said that she lost a son a few years ago. And this was such a magical reading. And this boy brought through beautiful examples of validation that he saw what had happened since he had transitioned. He showed different aspects of his personality and his interests, et cetera, et cetera. And it brought through beautiful messages. And then at the end, she said, "Is there anything about a dog?" And one of the first images that her son had shown me was himself skiing down this ski hill. And I learned later that he was I loved skiing. He was a real skier. And when I looked at when I looked at the dog, and she asked that about the dog, I looked and I saw the dog who was running right behind her son on the ski slopes down the hill at this distance. And when I looked at the dog, I also saw the dog leaping in the snow and playing, and there was tremendous energy, high energy, happy, just like her son had shown himself to be, this high energy, happy kid. And so I said, gosh, this dog is showing me mittens and winter hats and all things winter. And he's, you know, this is the energy. And she said, oh, I love that, because our feeling has been that this dog has been my son reincarnated. We got the dog, you know, a year or two after my son transitioned. And so I said, let me ask about that. It was the first time I'd been asked about reincarnation directly in a reading. So I looked, and the way that spirit showed this was they showed a train, and they showed her son as the conductor of the train, and they showed the dog at the back of the train as the caboose. And what I heard was, this is a continuum of the soul's expression. So just like the ski slope, we have the sun in front and we have the dog bringing up the rear. Now we have the train with the sun in front and a dog in the back. And so her son had come in first as part of this beautiful soul that he was, came in this human body. And then after he left, he sent part of his soul again into this dog's form. And so I said to spirit, wow, that's a lot. I'd like some validation around this, please. If I'm understanding this correctly, I want to make sure we get this right. And so the next morning I got up, I went, dropped the kids at school. I went to go to the grocery store, and I came to the light at Hydraulic, and the car in front of me said Winters, WINTERZZZ, several Z's after it. And so it was underscoring this love that they both shared of winter. And with the ZZZ, I instantly got the understanding, came in, that, you know, they were connected and they were these different parts of the soul expressing in different ways. So then I pulled into the market parking lot, the car in front of me, I looked at the license plate. It was an Alaska license plate, which I very, very, very rarely see, if I've ever seen here in Virginia. I said, okay, and I'm getting it. And then I went to go into the market and waiting for a cart, and the speakers above me, and my attention gets drawn to them, and the song blaring out of them is The Love Train. People come, get on board The Love Train. People all over the world get on board. And then I saw instantly that train that had been so poignantly flashed in my awareness the day before. So then I went to the dentist, and then I got back on the road, and my attention was snagged again by this Suburban in front of me, to the right of me. In the back left corner of this Suburban, there was a big infinity sticker with a heart on it. And that figure, I looked it up when I got home, what does the infinity symbol signify? And it said, it's the eternal infinite nature of consciousness and love. So again, it's exactly what had been illustrated in that reading, was, you know, the soul is this eternal consciousness, and that is love, and that is light, that, you know, never goes out. The light of that source of who we are is the eternal light that never goes out. It can get covered up by our conditioning, by our humanness, by our experiences here and our identification with the human mind and body. But underneath this, we are each this eternal light, this soul, this aspect of consciousness. And in this case, in that reading, you know, what was being shown was this boy and this dog as the same soul incarnating in different forms. You know, were related. They were the continuum of the soul's expression.
Okay. So there are multiple aspects to a one massive self, which is also a part of a bigger source. Okay. That makes sense, because I feel like you hear about people crossing over, but you also hear about reincarnation. And I was curious about, like, do they have to go somewhere to then come back? But it makes more sense that there's an existence of, well, also, like, I think we've spoken about this before, that time and space are also an illusion. So that really them coming back is also sort of like a continuation of all of it. So that was really interesting, and thank you for clarifying that. You said before you referred to it as the greater reality. What is the greater reality?
So actually that term came to me from that same reading, because that incredible boy had also, the first image he showed me before he showed himself skiing was himself on a boat. And you can see here how I learn through these readings. And I love that. So spirit's always teaching. And whether that's me sitting with my guides, understanding, or it's within a reading. And, you know, what I think is fascinating, Stephanie, is that it's the kids on the other side, that those who transitioned as, you know, teens or young adults who really seem to have a drive to help us understand. They're the ones who bring through this incredible information that's really above and beyond most readings or mediumship experiences. And I think, you know, what this beautiful boy explained in that reading was that he wanted to, it was one of the gifts he's now able to offer his mother and his family. And it's part of, you know, as part of his transition and through this experience together was his being able to help her understand this so that then she could go out and help, you know, other parents or other people understand. So I thought that was beautiful. But he showed at the very beginning an image of himself on a boat. And I got the sense instantly, I could feel it. I felt like I was on that boat. The wind was in my hair. It was incredible. It was this feeling of tremendous freedom. And he circled back to it at the end of the reading. And he showed me that it was the scene from The Truman Show that he was showing me, actually. And he explained that this had been his transition was his exit door. He told me exit door at the very beginning, actually. And he circled back around to it. And he showed me that scene in the Truman Show where Truman is on the boat at the end and there are steps leading up. And Truman has been living in this false reality, this reality that seems real, but that when he got the will and the drive and the courage to break out of the world that he'd thought was his whole reality, his whole life, which was actually a manufactured reality because he was on a reality television set. And many, we could say we are on a bit of a reality television set here, was actually very, very manufactured. And that when he got the courage to bust out and to see what was on the other side, he stepped up those steps and he took the door, not knowing what was on the other side, to really see for himself what was on the other side. And what came up in that reading was he said he busted through that door into the greater reality. And this mom hadn't seen The Truman Show. So when I looked it up later to send her some of the clips from that last scene, I was stunned to see that each of these clips were titled things like Truman breaks through to the greater reality. Truman talks to the creator. because Truman was talking to Ed Burns, who was, you know, the creator of that show. But there's so many levels of meaning that this is how incredibly clever spirits are and how incredibly brilliantly they can bring in information. So he was making so many points and helping her to understand that greater reality. Interestingly, this is also how spirits will come to me before readings often or be around me before. The whole week before that reading, I had said to my husband, gosh, you know, I'm walking around the neighborhood lately and it's like everyone is just like, hello, Betsy. Good evening, George. How's your dog, Max? You know, oh, nice to see you, Martha. And I said, it feels like it's just the Truman Show around here. And so this is how spirit does it. That spirit was already moving into my awareness, into my consciousness, and helping to lay the groundwork so that when I hit that reading, you know, several days later, a week later, that it was in my awareness so that I could easily make those connections, understand what he was going to be trying to tell me. So the greater reality is this, this force field, this field of light that is source, that is God, that is where we all come from and where we all return to. It is conscious awareness itself. It is omnipresent. It is self-aware, creative, all-knowing. And it's the source of our being. And it is that unconditional love or that joy that so many religious traditions speak of as well.
Yeah, the image that popped in my head, which may sound bleak, is like if you blow up a balloon and you put air in the balloon, but then the balloon pops, the air is still like there's still air. It's just covered by a balloon. And so that's how I'm like comprehending what you are saying, is that all of this always exists. At some point, it gets wrapped in flesh for a bit, but then it continues to exist.
Exactly. And this is what many in the spiritual traditions call the true self. It's that, you know, greater, it's that reality that is the ground of our being. It's who we really are. And it's what gets covered up over time. But awakening is really opening back up to that again.
Yeah. So is that, that was kind of my next question, this awakening. Mm-hmm. Is that, I'm trying to think, because also you're talking about how much this, the connection between the story you just said of the woman and her son, I imagine brought immense healing. So I am curious. I know I have worked with you personally to connect with the loved ones who have passed and also for personal blocks, but what do you see as the, you know, biggest aspect of your service here as a communicator for spirit or loved ones, like people coming to you? What do you feel like you are assisting them in?
Well, I feel like in a larger sense, yes, it's exactly what we're just talking about. It is that healing and that awakening. It's that opening up our perceptions and our understandings of the greater reality of the universe and correspondingly the greater reality of who we really are. And I see how healing that can be on a more practical, grounded level in terms of POP, why people come to me. People come for a variety of reasons. And I love the variety because I love how incredibly unique every session is. It keeps me engaged. I love to learn, as you can see, and it keeps me on the edge of my seat, just really excited to see how spirit is going to reach the person in front of me and what they're going to show today. So people come for reasons, as you mentioned, personal blocks, connecting with loved ones across the veil. I also do a lot of animal communication for both animals on the other side and those here. And spirit working through me helps people with about anything that's showing up in their lives or that's important to them, whether that's career changes or starting a new business, shifting to another stage of life, wondering about purpose, working through trauma, et cetera. So I can say a little bit about each of those if that would be helpful. For personal issues or questions, I think the beautiful thing is getting a higher perspective on what's happening for us from our guides. Frequently, clients come with relationship issues, conflicts with a partner, a sibling, or parents. It may be a parent who comes out of concern for their adult child who's stuck, or for a youngest child who is having tantrums or refusing to move out of diapers. I love these sessions because spirit shows the dynamics of what's happening in these relationships so clearly and helps people to have a greater understanding and gives some beautiful guidance. Because understanding yourself, your children, and your relationships in a new way can really engender compassion and carve a clearer path forward.
So this, all of these things, so are you... Would it be safe to say that sometimes things that pop up in our life are manifestations of things occurring within the greater reality that we're not aware of that you can communicate to us?
I think it's, you know, our lives here. What I really see is that you could say that in a sense, because I think what comes up is always, you know, it's always pointing us towards where we need to go, where our soul is asking us to go. So it may look like it's just an issue with a child or a parent or a sibling or a trauma that we've experienced, but it's really, it's coming up because it's asking to be healed and it's life, you know, ushering us forward to our, towards our next greatest expression. So when we work with those things, often we do see the origin points of those. Those may be in past lives. Those may be in this life, in childhood. Spirit will show where this started. And then we can bring awareness to it. And in so doing, we can release the energetic pattern that's been held in that experience. That, you know, that, that experience is gone, but the energetic pattern is generally still held within our field. And then when we release the energetic pattern with awareness, and we heal it, then that pattern doesn't need to play out necessarily any longer in the physical world. Or there may, and or if there are steps you need to take, you know, as a client, spirit will outline what those are. It may not be that spirit can just clear it all for you, but they can certainly lay some energetic groundwork so that it makes it easier for you. I often see those experiences in pictures, and then I watch the pictures change as spirit does the work. And there's a lot of healing that can happen on different levels in these readings in that way. So for example, recently I had two different women, unrelated, who were starting their own businesses. Both came in the same month. And we worked on the issues and the underlying stuckness for them. And they both emailed me the day after our readings to say that they had, you know, gotten their first paid clients the next day. Or another client had a physical issue that she'd seen the doctor about. Always something I always advise, but there was no detectable physical explanation for what she was experiencing. So we did some work on the energetic level around it. And her guides at the end said that they were going to continue working on it for 10 days for her. About 10 days, 2 weeks later, I got a message from her saying that the issue had continued for 10 days after we had talked. But when she woke up on the 11th morning, she was stunned to find that it had resolved itself. That one stopped both her and I.
Okay. So if I have some money issues, I need to change some of my energetic receptivity stuff.
Yes, because it's never about the money. You know, it's never about the money or the physical thing or the stuckness in the career. Those things are symbols. They're the way it's playing out in the material world, but it starts as energy first. And so that's sort of the amazing thing about this physical reality. We get to see those things in living color in front of us. But if we really want to look at working with them, then we need to back it up and go further back where they originated, which is on the energetic level.
And then on the so someone comes to you hypothetically saying they want to make more money. Mm-hmm. You find where that stemmed from energetically, and you can help them clear it out to change the vibration, essentially, to work through whatever the projected block is.
Exactly. I mean, sometimes it actually looks like, you know, strings or rubber bands that are held out and tethered and anchored behind you, those energetic patterns, when I look at it. And so we can, you know, release those so that then you can springboard forward in your life.
When you're looking at people coming to you, is there, I realize that we're talking about something so vast and complex. I appreciate you distilling it down to information that is digestible. But as people are coming to you with all their blocks, is it generally getting tripped up in the human form? Like, is there some sort of semblance of something that seems to show up across the board? Or is it just, it's all over it, and you just, each person, you just navigate individually?
It's super individual, I have to say. And, you know, we all come here to learn to work on different things in this lifetime. So we're all working on our own different stuff. And people are at different points along their path. You know, often people do come. I mean, first of all, there also can be really practical things that are where there's guidance around, say, if it's around money. So it's not just, let me shift this energetic pattern, but also maybe, hey, you also need to do this in your business, you know, or you need to save more and stop spending so much on shoes, you know. Okay. it can be really practical. Spirit, you know, our guides have been here before, so they know the human experience. And so they can be amazingly practical as well. And so it's a big mix of those things. But, you know, I think what's helpful about connecting in with our guides and teams in spirit is that they can validate for us that we're not alone. And have their, you know, it's like truer words were never spoken. We are in no way alone here. And it can make such a difference. I've seen that again and again for people when they get those validations. And not only do we get the guidance and the messages from spirit, but just like with loved ones, spirit does an incredible job. I find guides do an incredible job when I work with people of maybe because they know I'm asking for this too, but they show the person that I'm working with that they see what's going on for them. And they can do it again in very funny and clever ways. So it may be, I'm thinking of a reading I did for a woman. And the start of the reading, when I opened it up, I said, I see you, this is going to sound crazy, but in this giant nest with your feet up and your hands behind your head. And I went on to give the message around that. But what I don't know that spirit knows that the person I'm talking with knows is the physical tie-in and why they're using that specific metaphor. So in that case, the woman said to me at the end of the reading, you know, that is the funniest thing. Also, that thing you said at the beginning, because just yesterday, I was reading the New York Times and there was this cartoon that I really stopped and laughed over that showed this guy in this giant nest with his feet stretched out and his arms behind his head. So, you know, that's a great tiny, but think about how impactful that is. Think about how amazing that is, validation. Or I say to someone, boy, they keep using the metaphor of this highway. I keep seeing this highway. It's empty except for this, you know, dotted yellow line down the center. And it's so clear. And they keep using these highway metaphors. And she said, you know, it's so funny because last week I was just really tuning into myself. I was blocking out what everybody else thinks. Found myself on this poster site, ordering this poster. And it's just a highway with nothing around it, but this yellow dotted line down the center. And it represented for me, you know, just kind of me going my own way. And so that's an example. Or I did a reading for a parent who was struggling with some boundary issues and around parenting, needed some help. And Spirit gave some wonderful practical advice for her on that. But one of the metaphors, again, that they used was that of a mattress. And they said, this is like a mattress and, you know, your side is a little soft. This mattress needs to be a little firmer for your child. Your husband over here, like he's doing okay, but, you know, you need a firmer mattress to spring off of. And so at the end of the reading, she told me that they had just bought a new mattress. And not only that, but it was the kind where you can customize the two sides. And her side was the softer. And her husband's was the firmer. So again, just Spirit showing us that they see us and they're with us.
So cool. This is so fascinating. I feel like I'm obviously really interested in this stuff. And, you know, the things that are running through my mind as you speak are just, you know, something that's also comforting for me is if there's just something reoccurring that I can't resolve and I've tried the things on the material plane that don't seem to help, to connect to something a bit above that. And that is comforting to me because I'm like, okay, the reason I couldn't connect this way was because it was just a sign to direct me to something a little different. And so I find a lot of comfort when I've been trying something and it's unsuccessful to reach out to you and to sort of have a different perspective. And that I find to be very comforting. I'm just curious about what, in your opinion, you think consciousness is.
Oh my gosh, you're breaking out the real tough ones today. I mean, I think, again, this is where, you know, I love Eckhart Tolle because he does a great job breaking this down, these things that really there are no words for people. But I think the easiest way to consciousness, you know, I can try to explain it in words as I have, but really to understand consciousness, it's not something that the brain can understand. You can't use your intellect to understand consciousness. Consciousness is who we are. And so in order to experience that, you really have to do just that, experience it. And that really requires sitting in, probably in meditation. I know people don't like to hear that, but it's really about sitting with yourself in the silence and being able to move past the habitual conscious mind and thought stream, which is so distracting. And because when we're doing that, we're living in this virtual reality. So that's pretty removed and we don't have access to the soul aspect of ourselves because it's just all this noise. So we have to meditation allows us to, and helps us to get past that so that we can drop into the stillness and that consciousness that is who we are. Because after a while you realize, well, there are no thoughts here at the moment here sitting in meditation. And yet I know I still am. So what's still here? Who are we? What is this experience? And that's the experience of awareness. That's the experience of consciousness, you know, conscious awareness, looking out from your eyes. It's that sense. And Eckhart Tolle totally talks about this in terms of sense of being or presence. It's that sense of, you know, aliveness within your body. And it's that it really is an energetic sense.
Why do you think, it's just the way society is right now that we have gotten so far from remembering all this stuff? And also that you have to prove, like, I feel like you also feel like, even though you know your gifts are here, I feel like you also are always looking for signs like, but I'm not crazy, right? You know, like what do you think, or just I'm curious about your personal opinion about why you think people have gotten so far from that in this current state.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, it's our job to get so far. It's our job to forget. We come into this human incarnation. The whole purpose is that we're going to forget. We're going to get pulled by everything that's so compelling in this physical world around us, this material world. And the purpose of that is so that we can wake back up again, so that we can realize who we truly are. And so ultimately, you know, you can't get off path, right? Because it's all leading you back to this remembrance of who you really are. And experiencing that for yourself again within a human body, experiencing your soul aspect, your divine consciousness, understanding at an experiencing level in a human body, this, that you are an emanation of source, is what we came for in part. that is what we're waking up to. And so ultimately the forgetting is a gift too. It's like, our purpose is to embody that spiritual consciousness within our human form. We're not going to ever not be human. We don't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We don't need to leave that part behind. That's what we came for too. We came for the experience of being fully human and knowing that we are also fully divine.
Very cool. And that's something I try and embody also, is as I become a spiritual person and be more in spirituality, also being a good human and enjoying the luxuries of human, like being a human, you know, eating good food and enjoying the company that you're with and not just trying to ascend and meditate every day.
And ironically, I think it is really, it's all about the balance between those two. And ironically, I would say for me, spending so much time communicating with spirit these days has actually made me so much more present in my physical life and so much more aware of and appreciative of, just like you were saying, the food I'm tasting, the blue sky above me, the things I'm touching. And, you know, I think a lot of our loved ones on the other side really want to help us get there, help us have that understanding, that experience. I see that again and again too. You know, they're changed and they have a whole different perspective. And I love the sessions that where our loved ones can help us appreciate where we are now, where they can help us have healing and understanding about our human experience here, because they've gone beyond it. And I'll tell you what, you know, I certainly love and appreciate the readings where, you know, we're showing your son is still here. He still exists, you know, and here are the messages he wants to bring through. But I really love the readings where we can go beyond that. So that may be where someone has, and this is, I'm talking about mediumship now, but someone has already worked with me or another medium, and they already have belief. They understand how the consciousness is eternal and that their loved one's still there. And so they can come asking about their loved one to weigh in on a new project they're working on, or the foundation that they've set up in their honor, that kind of thing. And there's also a lot of healing that can take place. I had a client who had a very, and I have my client's permissions to share all these stories, but she had a stepfather who had a very difficult relationship, and she came with tremendous, she's already done a lot of her personal growth work, has a lot of spiritual understanding, and she came bravely ready to have that conversation with him that they'd never had, and to discuss a lot of the things in their relationship that had been difficult. And so as a medium, I'm in the middle with both sides always, but in this case, I was working with her, and she said, "Can I talk to him directly?" And I said, "Absolutely." And so he showed himself cupping his ear, and he said, "I'm listening." And so she would talk to him directly, and then I would relay what he was saying. And he wove in, of course, like we've been talking about, lots of subtle validations, many of which I wouldn't even know of who he was. So we didn't have to ask for those or spend the time laying those out. He wove those in. But what was really awesome was that, and this is the case for so many, he came in with this other perspective. So he came in laughing, showing actually bed sores on his backside, and saying that he was a real pain in the you know what, and asking for her forgiveness and acknowledging what his mistakes and his missteps, and then showing how much love, how much admiration he actually has for her now, that he's able to see her in a different way. And here's another example. It's like at the end of that reading, he said he was cantankerous and he was, you know, difficult and all these things. And for her, it was so healing to hear him, you know, acknowledging who he'd been and the difficulties that he caused for her. And then at the end, I said, you know, he's actually saying you are, and I was about to say magnificent, but he stepped in, he said to me, no, radiant. And I said, you are so radiant. He's saying how you are so radiant. And I was stunned when he said that because it was so different from anything else he'd shown in that reading. And I would never have pictured this character, it seemed so out of character. I've never pictured him saying that. He was so clear, crystal clear when that word came in that I trusted it and said it. So after the reading, I was finished. I make the intention with spirit. If there's anything I've missed or you need to add, or, you know, you correct me, tell me afterwards. So I was in the kitchen making lunch and all of a sudden I felt him pop into my awareness again. And he flashed in my mind the understanding that that bit had been the last sentence when he said, you are so radiant. That had been the last sentence. In fact, the last word of our reading together. And he then said, you see, I had to have the last word. And
oh my God.
And I laughed out loud. And I knew in that instant that he was really just emphasizing, like, this was his personality. This is how difficult I was. And he again was ending this whole communication the same way he'd begun it, right? He was laughing at himself. And he was showing the shift in perspective since he'd gone to the other side. So I told the client afterwards and she said, oh my God. And I said, he said he had to have the last word. And she said, that was so him. And she said, and you know, he used that word radiant all the time. So again, it was another validation for her that happened across the veil.
That's cool. It's cool to hear that you continue to keep aspects of your personality. And it's also cool to hear about all the healing, because I am sure that there's a lot of, you know, this human filter on things, or a father had things he wanted to say to a son that he wasn't able to say, but crossing over, all that is removed. And so traumatic childhoods can be healed through this transition.
When we are able to expand our sense of ourselves to understand how connected we are and who we really are, then we're moving out of separation and back into love. And, you know, that love, we're all seeking love. That's what we want. We want that feeling of connection and love. And I think the human mistake is that we look for it outside of ourselves. And we are the love that we seek. And anytime there's a sense of separation or lack, then we're an illusion. You know, we are in our mind and we're disconnected from the real essence and sense of who we are, which we access, by the way, through the heart. It does not happen through the head.
That's so crazy. That's the biggest lesson that I'm working on right in this moment, is extending everything outwardly and trying to work more inwardly. And I had a dream the other night, and literally the voice that came through was like, it must be felt through the heart before it could come to the mouth, or something to that. The words were so clear and I understood it. And it was basically like, it must be felt first before it can be communicated. And so when you said that, I was like, oh yeah, that was basically what the dream said.
Yes, the spirit was already communicating with you. This is exactly what we've been talking about today. And I love how they
case in point.
They're putting an exclamation point on that. It's perfect. This is how it's a perfect example of how spirit works. And the more you're aware of it, the more connected you feel to spirit, then the more of that kind of communication you can receive.
Beautiful. Are there any messages you want to channel for anybody listening, for the collective?
Let me ask and see. The other thing I'd like to add is also that, you know, eventually we become, just like we were just talking about, we become conduits for that love, the consciousness of love, you know, so it becomes about passing that along. And it is truly the spark and the light that passes from one person to the next. So let me just ask Spirit if there's anything we've missed or that they'd like to add. Ah. So this sounds cheesy, but they're showing the image of the globe and people all connected around the globe. It looks like, it reminds me of the We Are the World. Do you remember from the 80s, like the We Are the World song? Yes. And that whole movement? And see where they're going with this? They're talking about how people are, you know, different levels of understanding, and that we all help each other. We all give each other a helping hand from one place to the next. So it doesn't matter where you are on that, we could say spectrum, or, you know, spectrum of consciousness or understanding. It's really about reaching out to others and, you know, you get to one step, and then you turn around and you put your hand out and you help the next person up to where you are. And so they're talking about, this is the work for every person on the planet to be doing. And see, and they're actually showing that that's what happens on the other side as well. It does not end here. It isn't just the case in the physical world. It's actually, they're furthering our understanding here by showing that the same thing happens in the spirit world. So when someone crosses, and when a loved one comes up in the spirit world, there are so many souls waiting around them to help them to get to the next place in their own soul's expansion as well. So they're saying, this is the nature of our expansive universe. It doesn't, they're laughing, saying, you want to get further out today? We'll get further out today. It doesn't stop in the physical world. This is an infinite universe. And so there are infinite possibilities for each of us to learn, to grow, for our souls to expand. And that as spirits, that isn't limited to this physical plane. So they're adding that there's tremendous joy for those in spirit to be able, guides, et cetera, to be able to help those loved ones on this side, to reach out to them and to give them a leg up, in their words, because ultimately we're all working together, to as part of source, to be the light, to brighten that light and awareness and consciousness, to be the light.
Oh, amazing. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you're on the podcast and we got to chat, and this is a wealth of knowledge. And where can people find you if they'd like to work with you?
So my website is www.betsygranville.com. You'll probably link that in the notes if they're looking for the spelling, but that's the simplest way. And my contact is on there.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I know we went deeper than I normally do on the podcast, but I think that it's really helpful information that sort of give the big picture and within a way of comprehension to really understand what this world literally and figuratively are about. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's been a joy.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
I'm Stephanie Wood, and you've been listening to The Geode, your guide to modern wellness and woo, the podcast. You can follow us on Instagram, and if you haven't yet, please go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review us. You can join me next week for another fun conversation. Until then, I love you.